Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, October 15th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Just over a month ago, the Garnet Fire burned through thousands of acres in the Sierra National Forest. The fire also destroyed an area that had been studied by scientists for decades.
The work we're doing is really trying to understand how to manage forests to prevent things like the Garnet Fire from happening.
Coming up, we will learn about the so-called Tea Kettle Experimental Forest. But first, these headlines. A group of labor leaders and elected officials has formed a committee to support workers who may be at risk of deportation. The leader of the Nisei Farmers League, Manuel Cunha, tells the Business Journal that the committee will inform the Trump administration about the need to keep critical industries well-staffed. This announcement comes amid a harsh immigration crackdown that has sparked concern among agricultural leaders. Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley is calling on his party's leadership to bring Congress back to Washington amid the ongoing government shutdown. KEP Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports.
Speaking from his office in Washington, D.C., Kiley criticized House Speaker Mike Johnson for canceling floor sessions as the government shutdown has dragged on for 2 weeks.
I am calling on the Speaker to bring the House back immediately so that we can get on with the ordinary business of the House. And also, if we're here, I think there's a better chance that we'll have, that we'll be able to reach a bipartisan agreement that will end this impasse.
Kiley noted that the Senate has continued to meet, but that House committee hearings and legislation has been put on hold. He also says he's having his own paycheck withheld until the federal government reopens. Kiley's district includes communities in Placer County, east of Sacramento, and spans down the eastern Sierra to Death Valley. He's one of California's 9 Republican members of Congress. The state has 52 seats. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
Former President Barack Obama is entering the fight for U.S. House control. The Democrat is appearing in a 30-second ad urging California voters to approve Proposition 50, a ballot proposal that could add as many as 5 Democrat-held House seats in California.
California, the whole nation is counting on you. Democracy is on the ballot November 4th.
Prop 50 aims to offset President Trump's moves in Texas and elsewhere to boost Republican seats in the 2026 election. Voting is underway in California and concludes on November 4th. Republicans and other opponents say the proposal amounts to a Democratic power grab and that it would set aside district lines crafted by an independent commission that was created by voters more than a decade ago. A criminal justice reform measure passed by California voters last November has produced lackluster outcomes just a year later. A review of data released about Proposition 36 says very few people have completed drug treatment programs designed to keep them out of trouble. The measure gave repeat offenders an option between jail time or behavioral health treatment. Roughly 9,000 people have been charged with a felony that qualifies them for this option. But so far, of those placed in a program, only 25 have actually completed it.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Body 20 in Fresno's Fig Garden Village, offering full-body electromuscle stimulation training sessions. It's a high-tech, time-efficient way to help preserve and rebuild lean muscle. Each 20-minute one-on-one session is guided by a certified coach using FDA-cleared technology. Body 20 accepts health savings account cards. More information available by searching the Fig Garden location at body20.com.
And now to our main story. When the Garnet Fire burned through the Sierra Nevada late this summer, much attention was paid to the treasured giant sequoias in McKinley Grove. The trees fared okay, but a little-known nearby forest did not. The Tea Kettle Experimental Forest is a reserved area of Forest Service land where scientists study forest ecosystems and fire behavior. Researchers were gearing up to conduct a prescribed burn there next year. It would be thousands of acres in size, unusually large for the area. And the goal was to improve forest management and study how prescribed burns could temper the unusually vicious wildfire sweeping through the American West. But in an unlucky twist of fate, the Garnet Fire got there first. So what's next for researchers? To find out, I spoke with Matthew Herto. He's a professor of biology at the University of New Mexico, and he's also the director of the university's Center for Fire Resilient Ecosystems and Society. Matthew was slated to work on the prescribed burn at Tea Kettle next year. Before we get to what's next for him, now that that prescribed burn is off the table, I asked Matthew to start our conversation by just explaining exactly what an experimental forest is.
So experimental forests were set up by the U.S. Forest Service as locations throughout the national forest system where you could experimentally manipulate things related to forest structure, forest composition, and things like that to try and understand how any sort of change in management might impact changes in the ecosystem. And so they're kind of dotted around the national forest system throughout the country. And they have, you know, a special classification that allows you to do research in them fairly easily.
Today, we're here to talk specifically about the Tea Kettle Experimental Forest. So what do we know about that forest specifically?
So Tea Kettle Experimental Forest was first set aside in the 1930s. There was some work done by the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps there. But really, experimental research began there in the 1970s. And the question, what really kicked Tea Kettle off was trying to understand the relationship between upstream forest conditions and downstream water delivery to the Central Valley for agriculture. And so in the 1970s, they had established a bunch of water monitoring equipment and weirs and things of that nature to measure water flow out of Tea Kettle. But before they actually started to implement forest management treatments to understand the effects on water, data from other experimental forests came through showing that there was relatively little effect of the forest management on the delivery of water. And so then that kind of hit a pause button on research at Tea Kettle until the late 1990s.
Okay, now I know you've worked at the Tea Kettle Experimental Forest off and on for the past two decades. So can you give listeners just an idea of the different types of experiments that you've been doing there?
Yeah, so I started out working there in as a PhD student in graduate school, and it, you know, the work I did kind of dovetailed with the original Tea Kettle experiment that started in the 1990s, and that was to try and understand how different forest thinning and prescribed burning treatments impacted all different things about the ecosystem. And so that original experiment, the thinning was done in 2000 and 2001, and the prescribed burning was done in 2001. And so, you know, we have been tracking those experimental units through time, and that includes everything from, you know, remeasurements immediately after treatments to a 10-year remeasurement. And that one was specifically aimed at trying to understand how carbon storage in the ecosystem was changing. So from the perspective of mitigating climate change. And then in 2017, we reburned all of the prescribed burned units to try and understand how that second entry fire, which is about on the right time schedule for the historical fire regime for that system, how that would influence vegetation conditions and all the other attributes of the system.
And what did you find?
Well, we found that the initial treatments, they got us some way toward, back toward what forest structure and fuel loads would have been had we not excluded fire from that ecosystem starting in the late 1800s. And that second entry burn, that second prescribed burn in 2017, was critical for helping to deal with some of the tree mortality and additional fuels that happened because of that drought from 2012 to 16. It also helped kind of burn some of the shrubs to make space for the other plants in the ecosystem. But the main punchline was that while that second burn got us closer to the ideal condition, which would be a pine-dominated, fire-maintained forest, it did not get us all the way there. And we still had yet to kind of unlock the forest secrets it was holding about the regeneration or, you know, the regrowth of sugar pine and Jeffrey pine in that ecosystem.
Now, unfortunately, today we're going to talk about a wildfire that made its way through Tea Kettle Experimental Forest. That was the Garnet Fire that recently happened in late August and burned about 60,000 acres. It is now fully contained, but can you tell us a little more about how that fire impacted Tea Kettle?
Yeah, so Tea Kettle, like much of the Southern Sierra, had been impacted pretty heavily by that 2012 to 16 drought. And so we had probably about 30 to 35% of the overstory trees, the big trees, died in that drought. And it was concentrated in the largest trees. And so basically what happened as a result of that is we moved half of the plant biomass growing in the forest into the dead biomass pool, which is matters because that's the fuel that's really available to burn during a fire, depending on fuel moisture. And so we had really heavy fuel loads in the forest, and we had been working to implement an experimental prescribed burn to actually see how the system would respond to burning up some of that material under much more benign conditions than occurred during the Garnet Fire. And so basically, when you take the remaining green trees and you pile a big bunch of dead wood around and you make it nice and hot and dry, all that wood becomes available to burn. And then exactly what happened when the Garnet Fire hit Tea Kettle happens, and that's that there's tons of fuel available, and the fire can really blow up and get cooking through the forest, and it basically kills the majority of the remaining live trees.
So what's the current status of Tea Kettle?
It's not good. You know, I think one of my colleagues was in there. I've seen a little bit of helicopter footage. We're going out to install some sensors in a few weeks, but it looks like, you know, pretty large chunk of the experimental forest, you know, the majority of the trees have been killed.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is, you know, that it's really sad because a lot of those big old pines, you know, we've measured 450-year-old pines in there, you know, they were killed in the fire, and we're not going to get those back anytime soon.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking for, you know, the common listener, why do you think that this type of research matters? What value is it adding to the scientific research community and for everyday people?
Yeah. So we think of, especially if you live in an urban area, you think, oh, well, you know, I'm not really connected to that landscape. But indeed, if you turn on the tap in your home and you live in the Western U.S., you are, you know, there's like a 75% chance you're drinking water from a forested watershed upstream, right? Mm. And, you know, all the creeks and Tea Kettle flow into the North Fork of the Kings River upstream of Black Rock Reservoir. And so that forested watershed really helps maintain water quality in the system. You can guarantee that the water running off of the Garnet Fire footprint right now is severely degraded in terms of quality because of all the ash and soil loss and stuff like that. And so that's going to impact people. And so the work we're doing is really trying to understand how to manage forests to prevent things like the Garnet Fire from happening so that we continue to maintain them as forests. And then they can provide all of the ecosystem services like clean water and recreation, wood fiber, habitat, and stuff like that that we depend on them for.
Matthew Herto, professor of biology at the University of New Mexico. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.